Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. It's so good to be back here with you. I've got my decaf latte because that's what people in their 40s do. They just go switch it, you know, with kids, people in their 40s with kids. They can't, they got to just, okay. So here I am and here you are, and we're going to be diving in to Genesis 4, and the Lord's really been blessing, giving a lot of just insights into these chapters that even I haven't realized before as I've been preparing for these messages. I'll sit here and pray about it and read it over and stew on it and research a little bit. And just a lot of things have been coming up, and I'd give God all the praise and glory for that. And I was blessed by studying this, and I believe you will be as well. So what we'll do is we're going to look at Genesis. Okay, so Genesis 3 ends with what? Adam and Eve and the devil receiving their punishment for falling into sin, and then God driving Adam out of the garden, Adam and Eve out of the garden, and guarding it, remember, with the flaming sword and the cherubims to keep the way of the tree of life. So they guard it, say, you're not coming back in. And then Genesis 4, we see verse 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. So we see in Genesis 4, 1, what happens? Cain is born. Cain being the firstborn son, as we can tell, of Adam and Eve. Okay, that's important because we know God created Adam, and Adam being the first man that God created. Then he created Eve being his wife. And then their son, the first son, if you will, on earth of a man and a woman is Cain, right? And so we're going to see this is important in a minute here. I've gotten a man from the Lord of verse 2, and she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So again, we start seeing that Cain being first, Abel being second. Cain was a farmer, Abel was a shepherd. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. All right, so they're both bringing an offering. One is from the fruit of the ground, and one is from the first of the flock. And what we're going to do is when we come back from this break, we're going to look at verse 7 a little bit, and then we're going to dive into 8 and beyond. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. All right. So we see here there's an offering given, and then we see in verse 5, in verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. So verse 4 says that, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. That's the latter part of verse 4. That's kind of where we left off for the break. So the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth or mad, and his countenance or his facial expression fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? So God is speaking here in verse 6. Does God need to ask a question? No. Does God not have the answer? No, he has all answers. But he's asking this question to drive this point home. And the point is from verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And so we see in verse 7 that God says, if thou doest well, shall that not be accepted? You know, look, God is so merciful. God is so loving. In my morning study, I'm in the book of Jeremiah right now, and there are all these terrible things that Jeremiah is telling the Jewish people that is going to happen if they don't get right with God. And literally, there's a point there in Jeremiah 25, 26, where God literally says, this is being said so that they repent, so that I repent of doing anything evil to them. Like, it's actually telegraphed. It's actually mentioned how good God is, how merciful he is, that he's providing this very dire warning, not to scare them into running away, but to scare them back to him, right? To frighten them back to a way of living that is holy and how he expects his people to live, because he is holy. The Bible tells us he's holy, we should live holy. So God is saying here, look, Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? God is speaking directly to Cain. God's ways are pure. He's not holding a grudge. He's not setting Cain up. He simply is letting Cain know a very simple truth. You know, because this is a really tough verse to chew on. I remember studying this verse for a long time, some years ago. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know, we see that man knows right from wrong, not well from well. And we see Cain choosing a path that is not right. Okay? He is choosing a path of my will, not thy will. And one lesson from the Christian life is we always should have an attitude of, Lord, thy will, not my will. Lord, thy will be done. Lord, that's the idea of surrender and submission and obedience to God. And Cain is obviously not obedient. And he's talking here with the real living God. The God of literally created his parents. God is literally his grandfather, right? If Cain went to Adam and said, Dad, who's grandpa? Dad would say, God, you know? And yet here he is interacting with God in a way where God's explaining to him in his mercy, in his love, saying it'll be well if you do what I want you to do. But here's the contrary. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Okay, so if you don't do well, if you don't live holy, if you choose your own way, if you say my will but not thy will, then sin is going to be your partner. And unto thee shall be his desire, and you'll be yoked up with sin. Your desire will be sin's desire. You see? So all of a sudden, when we give our lives over to selfishness, to making ourselves the king of our lives, to self-worship and to idol worship, when we want to worship the things made by our own hands because of our own agenda, right? When we want to do those things, what happens? Then sin becomes our partner, whether we like it or not. And you know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And it says here, very interestingly, you'll become a ruler over sin. So it says Genesis 4, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And that, again, throw me a little bit of curveball. Because, you know, naturally, man would probably write something like, sin will rule over you. But if you think about it, if we understand what happened with Cain, he basically goes off to be a vagabond and have his own city and all these things. He probably became a ruler of some type, a sinful one. And we see, you know, this is not good. Because Cain brought an unacceptable offering that was rejected by God. God gave him a chance to repent, just like God was doing with the Israelites there through Jeremiah after they had gone wrong, and through the judges and through many other episodes, how God had given him a chance to repent, how God gives us a chance today to turn to him and accept him as Savior. God was doing the same thing with literally the firstborn of his creation of Adam and Eve. He was doing the same thing. He's saying, you got a chance here to get it right. I love, love, love verse 7, God's number of completion. God's laying it out for Cain before this all goes down, right? But God knows Cain's heart. He knows Cain's heart. And we see here in Genesis 4, and I don't want to get too ahead, but I want to go to verses 11 through 13. And this is the consequence that Cain faces for being belligerent, for being willfully ignorant, for being prideful, for not repenting before God. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. So we see God poetically saying the earth, the one where your brother's blood is, now you are cursed. It won't yield unto thee her strength. So he's getting the same punishment as Adam and Eve, ironically. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And isn't that what sin does to us? When we fall into sin, just like the devil made that false promise, that lie to Cain's parents, Adam and Eve, when we fall into sin, we are promised something that is a false bill of goods. You know, have you ever been promised something that's a total lie? Is there anything worse, disappointing, humiliating, frustrating than reaping the consequences of your decision? You know, can you imagine being told, hey, this is going to be the best barbecue you've ever had? You know, I was going to bring it back to food. And then you get that barbecue and it's awful, and you were told it was the best, and you told it was going to be a big portion, and you get a little portion, and you were told it was going to make you feel good, and you get sick, on and on and on. Look, that's a silly example, but that gives you an idea of what Cain was going through when he said, Lord, wait a minute. I'm going to be a vagabond. The ground is going to be cursed for my sake. I mean, the worst punishment in the world, by the way, is to be separated from God. I believe hell, the word tells us, is a real place of gnashing of teeth, really true fire and all the rest. But the worst part of hell, I believe, is separation from a holy God and a loving God. Not having that fellowship with God, not being close with God, not being able to worship and praise Him, not being able to receive a reward from Him for what we did on earth, not being able to go back in time and change it. Like the rich ruler, what did he want? He just wanted one drop of water. And when he couldn't get that, what did he want? He just wanted his brothers to know. And there's that famous line in the scripture that even if one be risen from the dead, they shall not believe. And that is prophetic, because Christ being risen from the dead, and yet how many people are walking around living in abject sin, living in a world that is completely broken, a world that's completely upside down. There's a brother on YouTube. I think it's Holy Land Tours or Holy Land Site. He's great. He tours these sites in Israel and kind of preaches from them. And he was talking about this point of ascension on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus ascended up to be with the Father after his 40 days and 40 nights on the earth after being resurrected. And he was talking about how the earth right now is run by wicked people and evil and all these things. And that place is where everything flips, because that's where Jesus returns. That's where everything flips, where good becomes the right and evil becomes the wrong, where good is justified and evil is cast down, where good is rewarded and evil is punished. Everything flips right there. But in this world, in this carnal world, ever since Adam and Eve and Cain, there has been sin. And this sin has led to consequences. And those consequences are awful. I mean, think about it. In the very previous chapter, God had to drive Adam and Eve out of the garden. He drove them out. You know, if someone said that my friend got an argument with his roommate and he drove the roommate out of his apartment, that sounds to me like a pretty aggressive way of getting rid. It sounds like someone didn't want to leave. Adam and Eve didn't want to leave. And now we see Cain being doled out his punishment. And he said, Lord, this is too much for me to bear. Because again, this is his grandpa. I mean, this is not like someone he doesn't know. Yes, it's God. And I believe it's Jesus he's interfacing with. So it's God, it's Jesus. This is everything he's known. And yet, for some reason, even when told that he needs to act right, he couldn't do it because the sin curse had take hold. He had pride in his heart. He wanted his will to be done. And now he's suffering the consequences of that. It's unbelievable. If we look at verse 8 here quickly, we don't have a lot of time, but if we look at verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. So last point here, verse 8, I promise I get a little bit of verse 8. Here we have Cain talking with Abel. Now, what do you think he's talking about? Isn't it interesting is how we speak with one another has such a profound impact on our lives? Because that's how the murder started. The murder that I just read the consequences for started with Cain talking to his brother. And often when we go and have a talk with someone, you know, the Bible talks about how the tongue is a fire that cannot be contained. When we go and talk with someone, that oftentimes is the beginning of sin. And we see he went to go have a talk with his brother. And I believe that was the beginning of this premeditated murder that was about to take place that we'll discuss here very soon. But we see that he did that, and we see already the consequences, and we see that his parents had suffered very similar consequences, and we see the sin cycle repeating like for the first time. It was like, boom, next generation, and then we see it all the way to the present generation. However many times, only God knows, we've seen that sin cycle repeat, and it won't stop repeating until we seek him with all our heart, mind, and soul. Tune in next time as we get to more of this verse. Take care, God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, Same place.